international scholars. Quote and comment upon the House of Rothschild, the Fiscal House of Warburg, and a few other international concerns. Professor, PhD economist, who taught for some years economics and money theory at Princeton University, and later on with a doctorate and second degree in studies at Harvard University, wrote in his book Tragedy and Hope, published by Macmillan in 1966, these words on the American banking system. Quote, those who established the Federal Reserve Board in this country remain different from ordinary bankers and S&L institutions in many distinctive ways. These bankers who established our system from Europe first are cosmopolitan and international. Second, they were close to governments and particularly concerned with questions of government debt. Third, their interest was exclusively in bond financing, rarely in goods, and in government conglomerates going into fiscal debt. Four, they were accordingly fanatical devotees of inflation. Five, they were almost equally devoted to secrecy, and because of all their vast power, are amazingly financial circles. And the secret use of fiscal influence in political life is extraordinary. These bankers have therefore come to be called, in the history of international theory, the international bankers, quote unquote, overriding the general juxtaposition of the theories of market frequencies and fluctuations and changes. They see themselves, he said on page 979, as the formulators of a new world policy, the effectual perpetrators of a new money system, and they call themselves in many ways, quote, the hope of the world, unquote. The Federal Reserve Board, nation strangling on $22 billion of checks, tells us that a new system is needed. Electronic fund system transfers here. Government now spends $350,000 unsupported debt money a minute. Paper recording of these finances is now seen as uncontrollable. The world asks, where do we go from here? Well, what I've tried to say in different ways is that something is happening which these scholars and professors at the universities in these recent books are telling us is very unusual and unique in the history of banking. Something which they say is so unique because of the enormous power which generates for the first time almost total anonymity. And I think Professor Quigley and his students in economics, as I've read his books, has just asked the question, why? Why is it that such enormous power over a branch of the government that has no checks or balances is so totally unknown by most of the people in these United States? He writes his tome and asks, why is it there are no reference in the public press books about the change in the system and the revocation of Article I of the Constitution? There are many feelings on both sides. What I suggest to you is that what these scholars and professors in the perhaps ivory tower of university economics are saying is that we have been privileged to live in this particular age, in an age of transition. And a transition is always concern at the present, nostalgia at the past, and anxiety at the future. I believe, and I'll put now here a statement of faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty become man. I believe that he was a prophet because he said he was a prophet who was not without honor in his own country. I believe that every word he said is true. I believe that he never made a mistake. I believe if there seems to be something that's contradictory in the scripture, that the promise is not with Jesus or the problem is with me, that I don't see clearly. And I found that when I was in my 20s, things seemed different when I got into my 30s, and then when they seemed different when I got in my 40s, now that I'm pushing 50, I find now that perhaps some of the things I didn't understand then, I understand a little better. My private statement of faith is that Jesus is coming to return to rule this planet, whether you believe it or not. My message is that he is my Lord and Savior, and he's going to rule this planet, a Jew, from Mount Zion, because he said he would. When the Son of Man comes in power and all the armies of the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne at Jerusalem, and before him will be gathered all the nations of the world. When he comes, the Bible says he will destroy a system which you have not seen, but which I believe you will soon see established. But nothing new can come without the passing of the old. We are now on something unusual. The so-called Great Depression in the 1920s did not affect the pecuniary reserves of the countries of Africa because they were mainly self-supporting colonies feeding more materials to the industrialized countries of the West. Jesus said in the Holy Bible that in the last days, the greatest holders of wealth would be the Arab states, and he even gave us the city, Babylon. He said it would be in the land of Babylon, where silver and gold would be brought before the Messiah. If you look up the word Avilah in the Bible in the book of Genesis and cross-reference it on longitude and latitude, if you take the words of God that seriously, to really do it, you find that it makes longitude and latitude crosses right over on the Westminster Atlas of the Bible over the Bank of Riyadh. The Bank of Riyadh now controls 80% of the world's gold supply. All the wealth of the Western world has now been pouring into Saudi Arabia, which is the bank for OPEC. Whoever has the gold has the money. The Spanish had it in the 15th century. The English took it from them in the 16th and 17th. In the 18th and the 19th century, we discovered in California that it was gold in Denver. America had the gold. Economist Howard Jeffson, in office, writing for the London Institute of Economic Studies, said never before have we seen such a transfer in so short a time of the entire wealth of the industrialized West to the Arab states. So that now the Arab states can buy material, war material, which even our own armies cannot afford. They can order more tanks than our Department of Defense can order for their own soldiers. This is all an economy based on hard currency, on gold. And we are seeing now a juxtaposition between those bankers who wish, and I'm not talking about little banks, I'm talking about the international consortium, who wish to have a new system with neither paper nor gold, nor silver. And the big discussion in world economics today is the confluence and convergence of gold and silver on one hand, and debt credit investment represented by the American system since 1913 in the Hamburg German operation. That's the big thing in economics today. My opinion is that the people who are trusting on this opinion, on gold and silver, will lose, and that those who are pushing a system of electronic funds, transfers of numbered systems and credit based not on gold or silver, but on the productive capacity of nations scaled in terms of international, interdenominational euro dollars with no money or German mark or American dollar will be the thing. And that will be the system which will be in effect when Jesus Christ comes to take up his reign on earth. You can call it just chance that it has the same cipher, 666. I believe the day will come when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have that cipher. And so, when God came to Noah in a beautiful day, and the Bible tells us it never rained in the first chapter of Genesis, in fact, scientists tell us people who are historical geologists, that in the old planet Earth, it never rained. There was what was called, around the Earth, a geodesic thermal cloud, which shielded us from cosmic radiation. So you could live just forever. We die because of cosmic radiation from the sun. But there was a firmament of waters, of water vapor, above the waters of the ocean, up in the sky. And that blocked out, you see? Scientists find the same thing. In fact, there's a whole new group of scientists who take Genesis 1 literally. They are hydrologists, professors of molecular chemistry. They take Genesis 1, and I'm proud to say I stand with them. No, I'm not worthy to be mentioned in their breath because I don't know the science, but I know the word. And they say this vast vapor cloud surrounded planet Earth. The whole planet Earth was like a hot house. And there was no rain. You didn't need it. In the morning, as it says in the Bible, you'd have a heavy mist, and it would feed all the Earth and make it rich and verdant. So the Bible tells us during that period when there was that great thing which we call the troposphere in physics, God sent a man called Noah because the earth was very evil, and he told him there's going to be a thing called rain. Nobody had ever heard of it. Nobody had ever seen it. The meadows were green and the grass was beautiful and everybody was comfortable and the economy was moving along fine. And he said, problems are coming. And I believe what the Lord has told me, so I'm going to go out and build an ark in a place where it's never rained, in a place where they never even seen a lake. And it says the Bible, for 120 years, people came and said on the weekend, you want to have a good laugh? Let's go over and see that nut Noah. You know, hey, isn't that cool? Rain? What's rain? Flood? What's that? So we know this story. Some people consider it just a folkway or a myth, and yet every civilized world, every civilized society and uncivilized society, even the Bushmen in South Africa and the Navajo Indians who have never seen water, had a story of a flood came. So I believe that a flood is a covenant. And that the true protection for anybody who loves the Lord is what some of you who are in the Episcopal Church, the Roman Catholic Church, or maybe we use those three numbered systems. Tomorrow you're going to hear great comfort in the first lesson. It says, God is a shelter, a bomb shelter from H-bombs, if you will. If he can shelter you from anything. From the heat, the blast of the heat, he can keep you from all of that. And there's going to come a day that first lesson says tomorrow. Listen carefully. The first lesson starts from Isaiah. It's going to be terrible. Oh, blast of heat, fire! But God will protect you and he will be a shelter from you. And on that day, the Lord will have a feast in that day on Mount Zion. And he will wipe away all death and dying and everything. And will be established there as the capital of planet Earth. And then the second lesson says, with that good news that your protection is prepared and your shelter is already made fixed, St. Paul begins, rejoice! And again I say, rejoice, because the Lord is at hand. See? Because when he comes, everything works out as it's supposed to be. And then the third lesson has a warning. A warning. But you can't sit on a duff. They say it's not enough to sit on a premises or stand on the promises. So you got to get out into the world and talk about the Lord and love others and do his business to others. Knowledge about God is not enough if knowledge displeases us with pride or anything like that, or we keep it to ourselves. If you feel there's a little light that you've learned or something, a new view of something that openly you think might possibly be true, just give it a little thought. Think about it. And if it has an application, begin to put your hope not on money market accounts. As nice as they may be, and God love the bankers who are putting them out because it helps things to move a little bit in mutual funds, which is all a money market is. It's a mutual fund. It's not even really part of the bank. The bank would probably be glad to have you invest in a new old savings certificate. That would help them more than money. I suggest that, number one, as the chairman of E.F. Hutton, Thomas Wade, said, get out of debt. Don't put everything in paper accounts in banks which are so short of cash that they're merging with other banks to cut expenses. They say whenever problems arise, the Financial Times said, there's always a rush to merge it. And the Wall Street Journal said, that's all you're seeing today. Everybody's making preparations to get out from under. If you think I'm crazy, fine. If you think I'm a lunatic, that's okay. Just watch the signs of the times. And for God's sake, watch what the corporations and conglomerates are doing. They're merging and getting ready for the storm. Maybe they know something that they're not saying publicly. When I spoke in Colorado last year, talking about this, there was a gentleman from the Reserve Bank in Colorado, and he was there. And at the end of it, as I was walking out, downstairs for coffee, this man who was listening came down and he grabbed this same old cassock which I wear when I go on trips, and he grabbed my Mosetta thing, just pulled it out like that. You know, it's just one of those sticking things, you know. And he said, do you know what, whatever his name was, it was a banker, he said, do you know what he said about what you said? Do you know what he said? And I thought, well, gee, you know. So, he said,
So just about everything you said was true that he believed it. I said, well, that's nice, because I'm sure a lot won't. I mean, nobody believes about everything for everybody. But the question he asked me, when he said this, and he put down, he says, why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he tell me? And my answer was, number one, he's a banker. That's a system. You don't go telling people. You don't go telling people certain things. You have to pick up certain things, you know? You don't go to a priest and say, gee, I noticed that there were seven people in your congregation at your main service. How are things coming?
Fine!
Fine! You know, we had them all out at 8 o'clock. Watch. Listen. And read. Read what the experts say. And think about what they could have said and didn't say. Read what they say in seminars, as I've done the past few years, like one that was held recently in Detroit. And one that I had the chance to hear a couple of years ago in Buffalo. And then read what's put out in the public media of what they said, they said, they said. And it's quite different. And think. But above all things, none of this makes any meaning or purpose without what I feel, a rock. You've got to have a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If there are any of you who have thought about, or not even Christians by any chance, who would like to talk to me about Jesus and to become a convert to Jesus, I'm your man. I'd like to talk to you about it. If you want to get here and you're just visiting, we'll never lose a chance to do this. And people at St. Bartholomew's, that I have met some of them in the Bible studies, you know, St. Bartholomew's, every year, we have more adults coming to confirmation than we do kids. Because I have nothing to do with it. It's people who love Jesus who go out and talk about Jesus. And these people feel that Jesus is true, his word is true. And he said that there would come a time when people would not be able to buy or sell, but they'd be on a number system. He said they wouldn't be using gold. They wouldn't be using silver. They'd just be using numbers. And that the number would be symbolized by a mark that would somehow be put on their head or their forehead. Was he right? Or was he wrong? What do you think? Thank you all. I'm really talked out. I hope that we would have had time for some questions, because I've got some really good news on the Federal Reserve Board. But it's been good being with you. I don't think I'm going to have much time for questions, because I got a pack of all these books and stuff I brought over with me and arrived about an hour early to get them all set up. So I guess I'm going to need some time and help to get these back again. Another Patty has a free will offering, I think, in the back as you're leaving. If any of you would like to thank the convent for the hospitality that goes to them to help with their expenses. And where is that?
In the paint upstairs at the top of the steps as you go out. If you'd like to assist us in trying to warn this man, some of his Sunday days, tremendous time and effort he's put into this, we do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Great payment. I appreciate it all.
He did this as a labor of love for us and for the community and for the cause, you know. But anything you could do.